Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all. From the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. You choose today's special to listen from IRIB English Radio. Salamun alaikum and welcome. We're going to speak about the importance of friend in Islam.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes. Yeah, light. Know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
Today, Friday, is the 18th of Rabi Uthani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to chapter Nisa, verse 69. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا.
And whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, those will be with the ones upon whom Allah has bestowed favor of the prophets, the steadfast affirmers of truth, the martyrs and the righteous, and excellent are those as companions.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is clearly understood from the verse that the having the good companions and valuable friends is so great and important that even in the hereafter, to complete the heavenly bounties, this great favor will be granted to the obedient too. Allah is cognizant to the states of the obedient and disobedient people, so as well as to the circumstances of the hypocrites and sincere believers. He knows those who are eligible for the friendship of the prophets, the truthful, and so on, the same as the state of those who are not eligible.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have because you gave. My love is strong because you are the one I call Creator. My Alpha and Omega, my Protector and my Maker. Because of you, I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker.
What does Islam say about friendship? We all know that we are created for a specific purpose and that Allah the Most High has given us life in order to test us. None of us will deny that we are here for a relatively short period of time and that we shall meet Allah one day. Once we know our purpose and our goal, we should seek ways to achieve them so as to benefit our own selves. All of us believe that Allah has sent us a messenger and revealed to us the Quran, the best speech. In an authentic hadith, the Prophet Muhammad said, "A person is likely to follow the faith of his friend, so look whom you befriend." To another hadith, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny set the example of a good companion and a bad companion is like that of a seller of musk, and the one who blows the blacksmith's blows. So as for the seller of musk, then either he will grant you some, or you buy some from him, or at least you enjoy a pleasant smell from him. As for the one who blows the blacksmith's blows, then either he will burn your clothes or you will get an offensive smell from him.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about friendship and fraternity. we have to know that we shouldn't reveal our personal or private secrets to anybody, especially to a friend, because there's no guarantee. At times it has happened to almost everybody that two persons used to be close friends, but after some time they cut off relations with each other, and at times they have become their enemies. I mean, one person is the enemy of the other person. If you reveal a personal secret to a close friend, when he or she becomes your enemy, he has access to certain classified information regarding you. And at any time, you have to be ready for receiving harm. I mean, a very distressing harm from your friend, because he has had access to your secrets and certain private aspects of your life. We've been advised not to make friends with those people who are stingy, because, I mean, mean people and stingy people, they want everything for themselves without caring about the needs of other people. And at the same time, we find that those people, I mean, stingy people or mean people, usually intend to take advantage from everybody, and they want everything only for themselves, for their temporary needs, while they are really ignorant of long-term benefits and long-term friendship with other people. Another one is that those people who are really crazy or stupid, they don't deserve friendship. Because making friendship with a stupid person usually harms people, and not only financially, but I mean, it harms your reputation.
Hey, all my life, doubting was a part of me. Day and night, I fight my insecurities, asking why am I, who am I? I just want some peace of mind, and the salad.
Rights of friends. Moderation with friends. It is wise to choose moderation in dealing with friends. Excessive love and confidence in friends are unacceptable, since it happens that a friend may change into an enemy and use the secrets that he had shown as weapons. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "When you cherish someone, you should cherish him moderately, for he may be your enemy someday. And when you hate someone, you should hate him moderately, for he may be your friend someday." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "The secrets that you must show before your friends are only those through which your enemies cannot harm you, for a friend may change into an enemy." Friendly ways, how to choose good friends in Islam. A friend who does not like to commit immorality. Be friends with people who like to commit immorality. It's feared that it will make us contagious and commit immorality. Therefore, We need to avoid friends who like to commit it. Choose friends that have a thirst for knowledge. Dear friend, life is about learning, growing, and advancing. With friends like this, you can learn from each other. It's always great to have a friend who can recommend a good book or share information with you to help you on your path. Friends who are avid readers are usually great conversationalists and fun to talk to as well.
You sit with a friend, and the first day that you're trying to start off this friendship, they hear that, for example, you're opening up a pharmacy. You sit with them, come here, let me show you how to defraud the insurance company. Let me teach you these ways how to defraud the people, how to write fake prescriptions, and so on and so forth. Is this a really a good friend? Or some friends who, unfortunately, they turn us against our parents. How many times do we see that in society? If you find that after spending time with your friends, you start to hate your parents, you don't like going home, you don't get along with your siblings, realize these are bad friends. Not good friends. A good friend is someone whom after spending time with him or with her, you feel closer to your parents. You miss your parents more. You go back home, you want to be more obedient to your parents. These are good friends. When you sit with your friends, ask yourself, how do I feel after leaving that session, that gathering? Inspect yourself. Do I really feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I feel closer to my parents? Or no, the opposite is happening. You're just awakening my desires, wasting my time, getting me in trouble. They're showing me the way to drugs. This is a problem in our community, brothers and sisters. Many of our parents, they have no clue what's going on in society. They think their son is going to play sports and playing basketball with his friends. But then suddenly they discover something else. Our parents need to know what's going on. If your children are spending time with your friends, I believe that our parents need to know those friends individually, personally. Know them. Know what kind of personalities they have. Spend some time with the friends of your children, of your sons and daughters, to know what kind of people they are.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a wonderful saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The most helpless of all persons is he who cannot find a few brothers during his lifetime. But still more helpless is he who finds such a brother but loses him.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As we mentioned previously, we as human beings have a particular lifespan. Now, this is not a program to go into the concept of qada wa qadar and so on and so forth, predestination, free will, or you know, the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we leave it to the experts in the field of theology and in philosophy to get into it. But what a brief thing is that we as human beings, obviously we know we have free will. And this free will of ours, as Sheikh Mutahhari mentions, we are compelled to have free will. This you can find in his book, Divine Justice. So, in this sense, you know, there are certain things that because of being Shia, because of following the path of the Ahlul Bayt, we differ quite, you know, extensively from certain other theological schools of thought within Islam, such as the Mu'tazilis or the Ash'aris or the Maturidiyah,
One of those is the concept of lifespan. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a particular lifespan. Now this lifespan, according to some traditions, increases or decreases by our own actions. So again, we don't want to get into the theology and the philosophy behind it. We leave it, like I said, to the experts. Right? So our lifespan, by certain actions that we do out of our own free will, either increases or decreases, depending on what the action is. In this hadith that we are mentioned from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, it's a very beautiful, very simple, very easy practical step that one can take, in order that the Holy Prophet says that if a person does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase this person's lifespan. So the Holy Prophet says, or is reported to have said, that remain mostly in the state of purity. Meaning what? Be in wudu, minor ovulation. Keep yourself in wudu at all times, whenever you are, wherever you're going out, at home, at school, at work, you just going out for shopping. Be in a state of purity. Because the Holy Prophet then continues that if a person does this, that if you remain mostly in a state of purity, again, the hadith doesn't say all the time. The hadith says akthar, most of the time. You know, whenever you get the chance, you go to work, you go with your friends, even when you play sports, you know, be in a state of purity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase your lifespan. Something very simple, with a great result, with a great consequence that we can get from it. Again, in our following program, we'll mention some other things regarding the increase of lifespan and certain practical steps we can take. Inshallah, until then, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, seekers of knowledge, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Quran Quest, the program that studies the verses of the Quran one by one by our always energetic and tireless Sheikh Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Habib. Thank you for being with us.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You made me feel like the Duracell battery.
Yeah. Okay, so we're on chapter 84, which is called Splitter. Let's listen to verses 16 to 20, and we'll be back for the discussion. Don't go away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ.
So I swear by the twilight glow. And by the night and what it envelops. And by the moon when it becomes full. That you will surely embark upon state after state. So what is the matter with them that they do not believe?
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Laurent Quest, and you just listened to verses 16 to 20 of chapter 84, which is the splitter. So from the very beginning, it says, "So I swear by the evening glow." Can you explain this, please?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. That's one translation actually that you have in front of you. There's actually another translation which I think is the best, and it is the twilight of the sunset, or the sunset, the time of the sunset, the light that comes from the sunset. And Ash-Shafaq, of course, is a specific time actually when the sun goes down during sunset. You have Al-Hamra Al-Mashriqiyya and Al-Hamra Al-Maghribiyya, the red light that comes on
the east
and also
the one on the west.
On the west, where the and where the sun goes down, it's called Al-Hamra
Al-Maghribiyya. The
Maghribiyya,
west.
Yeah, where the sun goes down, the light comes down.
And what makes it significant to swear by?
The time actually here, it's a specific time in many different sayings. We have many different sayings that state the importance of supplication at this time, and the importance of putting sadaqah, the importance of reciting some specific verses such as Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, because it's a time where a lot of, you know, accidents happen actually. And pretty much when you get the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating by this cause that He created, like it's the coming in combination of two of His signs, two of His ayat, which is sign, right?
Signs, yeah.
And that is pretty much daytime leaving and the arrival of nighttime. And even though it's nighttime, there's still light. There's still light in there. And it's like it just doesn't go by a snap of a finger. There's this rule and this law that it's going by. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by this important and beautiful, you could say, time and time lapse, where it's of something that could be reflected upon. When, you know, just looking at it, at the mightness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It can push you to think,
yeah,
about the creation. By the night and what it is fraught with is the second verse in this section.
And pretty much as well, we talked about the importance of night. We will talk more about it, inshallah ta'ala. And وَمَا wasaq means what returns at night. Pretty much talking about the continuation, the scenario, right? First of all, you have the sunset, and then the light that comes
dim
after
away.
The light that which we talked about, the shafaq, the twilight of the sunset. And then comes the time of night. Then after, at the time of night, usually, without the 21st century technology, it was the time where human beings returned to their homes, where animals, to this day, alhamdulillah, are living through sunnah, the traditions of Allah's creation, and returning to their houses at night. Of course, the night animals go outside because they return during dawn. But, you know, the birds that we see every day, you know, some like the different types of animals that we see every day, at nighttime, when nighttime comes, when they see the darkness, it's time for them to return to their homes. And it's just like a quiet place. It's just like a scenario, an environment where it's, you know, cool for sleeping.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a break and then we're going to study verses 18 and 19. Stay tuned.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on chapter 84, the splitter. On verse 18, it talks about by the moon when it blooms full. In various cultures, a full moon is significant, and so it is in Islam.
It really is. Actually, the beauty of the moon has been used very much in the Arabic poems. You know, when you want to say that someone's good looking, like I want to say, like Hussein, you look like a full moon. Anta badrun fil jamal. Yeah, you're in beauty and handsomeness like the full moon, right? Because it's such beautiful, and that light, that blue light. I don't know if you have seen it, because we lived in the city all of our lives. But I remember in the village, especially when I was like 7 years old, I was in the village in Lebanon, and I remember seeing for the first time the power and importance of the full moon. And how, you know, it just gives out
and
light.
Illuminated
it,
everywhere.
Exactly. It's so beautiful. Everything around it is, you know, you could see everything, but it's still dark. And it's beauty. The way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only has it on one night, actually in the month, or like two nights on the month, they're like full moons. The rest of the nights, they're like either, you know, eclipsed, or, you know,
it's just a crescent.
Yeah, it's a crescent. It's like it's been eaten. That's what I want to say, because moon is made out of cheese, apparently,
like a half a biscuit.
Yeah, exactly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by all these order, or all these, which is the order that He created things, the order and the manner of our daily lives that we see, and our time that we live in.
I was also thinking that it's also talking about how things are changing, and so will our situation as life goes on.
As well, you could also get that meaning, yes. That there are different stages
of our life.
There are different stages throughout At-Takwin, throughout environment, throughout His creations.
Mm-hmm.
And then you understand the connection between this, the why he's swearing by these things, by this you know, conduct, by this order, by this method. And then comes the next verse, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ.
You will surely fare from stage to stage.
Exactly. When you come to the verse, this verse, that you shall invariably pass on from one stage to another, there are many different interpretations to it. And of course, the famous Sunni interpretation is that human beings will go through different stages of life. Then after the different stages of life, you will go to the afterlife. And after the grave, when you're in Barzakh. After Barzakh, the Day of Judgment. After the Day of Judgment, you move on to, you know, the paradise or hell. And throughout each one of these scenarios and stages, there are different stages in it. For example, throughout life, you're a baby, then you become a toddler, then you become like a preteen or teen, then you become an adult, then you become an elderly person. Then after in Barzakh, you'll be, you know, slammed in your grave, and then Munkar and Nakir, and then, you know, all these hectic and chaotic, you know, stages of life and things that we'll go through, and life doesn't end there. That's accepted, and that's a nice meaning. Then you have the second meaning that's available in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that al-kubanna tabaqun an tabaq is like you will go through the same situations that the different nations, O nation of Muhammad, O Ummat Muhammad, you will go through the same situations that Bani Israel, that the Christians, that the Hawari, the true companions of Jesus Christ, the true companions of the prophets that went through. You will go through the same thing. And it happens to us in many different metaphors, you could say. And I think I could talk more about that after the break.
I'm going to have to cut you there, but we'll talk more about this after the break. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We're talking about the expression of stage to stage on verse 19 of chapter 84. So before the break, you said that it could be denoting the changes in that happen from life to barzakh to afterlife. But also you said that it could mean that, O Muslims, the same changes that happened to Bani Israel, the Christians, you should expect the same changes?
Yeah, at the end of the day, like the same catastrophes they went through, the same fitna, or you know, like
chaos,
exams, tests that that Bani Israel went through, you will go through, like the same way that people try to change the religion of Christianity and Judaism, will also try to change Islam, the way that they, misinterpretate their holy book. Same thing here. And for example, Ghiyab, like one of the best examples that I have between Bani Israel and Ummat Muhammad, is actually the occultation of Imam al-Mahdi. Because they had the occultation of Moses, actually, where Moses then appeared and was their savior. Same thing with us, we have our savior. And, you know, there are many different, you know, similarities. Like, for example, Aaron. And the way that Bani Israel, you know, pretty much, you know, stabbed him in the back and stabbed Moses in the back by worshipping the golden cattle, we have the kind of the same thing in, you know, in the idea of Islam as well.
Okay, thank you very much. As a final question to this section, it says that, so the conclusion to all of this comes in verse 20. What is the matter with them that they will not believe? So the idea is that when you see so much changes in the world, such clear signs, what's the problem? Why don't you believe in a day that you will return to God subhanahu wa ta'ala? The question is that, yeah, all of these great events, the mesmerizing space, do really lead a person to believe in a creator that is wise and intelligent and immensely powerful, unlimitedly powerful. But that doesn't mean that that God is necessarily the God of Islam. What are we achieving here?
We are achieving, first of all, I want to make this very clear, that Islam believes that the true Christianity, the true Judaism, the true, I don't know, religion of Noah, the true religion of the prophets is Islam. إِنَّمَا الدِّينُ عَنْدُ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Or, for example, Ismail or Abraham, when they used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make their descendants Muslims. The idea of Islam is submission towards the Creator. In Arabic, we call him Allah. In Arabic, we call him Allah. At the end of the day, we're all pointing to one thing, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And attributing some things and others is what makes us different. At the end of the day, we're all pointing out to one Creator. Even Judaism and Christianity, they say that there is a God, Son of God and whatnot, and this Holy Spirit. They're attributing things to Allah. They're attributing things to God. So at the end of the day, what is important is to believe that there's a Creator. You don't want to call him Allah, then don't call him Allah. But he calls himself Allah. He calls himself the God. He calls himself whatever he wants to call himself. He's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Since God subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth, would it also be appropriate to say submission to the truth, whatever and wherever it
exactly.
is?
Exactly. Also, that really comes in. Yes.
Thanks. I think that's a good place to end our show because we're running out of time as well. But if you missed the episode, you can always download an archive from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week and a lot of studying. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
The topic that we've had the opportunity to be covering over the previous nights that I'd like to continue tonight, inshallah, has to do with vulm and injustice and oppression. And we've had an opportunity to look at that topic from a number of different angles, sometimes looking at vulm when done to other people, sometimes when it comes to dealing with people who are doing vulm, and sometimes trying to see what is the most biggest act of oppression. Tonight, I would like to tie that topic to the, at least to some part of the discussion about mental health. And as you know, the communities, our communities here, other places, it's a common issue both within our community, outside of our community, is that there's a growing mental health disorder. It's something which is affecting many of our youth, even people who are older as well too. I've had college students come up to me and say things like that, you know, they've had serious problems with, like, for example, you know, media, to the fact where it affected them mentally. You could see that they've taken a mental toll because of, you know, the device and addiction. You have teenagers who have very low self-esteem and some issues with relating to depression. You have people who have family tensions, and that causes, like, anxiety. You have people who, when they were children, something negative, they had a negative experience, and that leads to problems, you know, when they get older. And all of these are many incidents that many people are reporting, their issues, their actual reality in our community. Why is there such a increase in these incidents? What's happening in our society? We are becoming more and more of a materialistic society. And in this materialism, people are realizing that there is no happiness, there is no satisfaction, there's no comfort. And so this is creating, like, tensions. And from an Islamic perspective, what we would like to do is to make sure that we don't look at things just from the perspective of materialists, meaning that we want to look at things in a broader perspective. For example, right now there is a big push for wellness. I'm sure that you all heard about this idea of wellness. Okay? And sometimes, you know, wellness is something which is a serious issue. It's used as a term to describe, you know, people who have, like, let's say, serious disorders. And sometimes if you look at wellness, you feel like it's something which is kind of frivolous. I mean, you have, you know, people paying a lot of money to be able to go, let's say, swimming in, you know, cold water in the mountains. Right? Or you have people who are paying to take time off of work so they can go to a special place and take a nap, right? Because it's in order for, and they're paying a lot of money for it, and it's in order to just get their wellness up. But sometimes it's referring to something, you know, more serious. Now, this idea of wellness, you know, we have to look at it from an Islamic perspective and say that, well, what is wellness? Is wellness the idea that I should be happy and I should never have any sadness or grief in my life? So if that's the case and that's the understanding, then we can see why people are having problems, because that's not the way life works. Life has to have difficulties, it has to have sadness, it has ups and it has its downs. But if that notion is being pushed that being well means that you're always happy, then that is a problem. That's one. Number two is that if we want to look at it deeper, we should try to understand certain cultural trends. One of those trends is the trend of being opinionated on things, having an opinion on everything. This idea of liking or not liking is something which is fairly new, relatively speaking. And before, it wasn't the case that you had to have an opinion on anything. People who were experts were called in to have opinions on things. But it wasn't something that you were asked to have an opinion on every piece of news, every photo, every action, every activity, every trip, giving opinions on it. Now, when somebody is used to giving opinions on something and there's different events taking place in their lives, and those events, if they're looking at them, they're not liking the way that it's turning out, then what are they doing? They're giving their opinion. They're saying, I don't like this. I'm giving this a thumbs down. And so they end up complaining a lot. And this is something which you could say, at least to some extent, is stemming from a cultural issue. That's number two. Number three is the culture of individualism, the idea that I want to be, well, individualism can mean different things, but this aspect of it, that everything revolves around me. I want to be in charge of everything. And, you know, the way that, like, the culture is working with, like, instant gratification, you know, you get what you want. You know, you just go to Amazon Prime and you can get it, like, the same day or, you know, the same in a few hours, right? Whatever it is, you want it your way. So again, when issues are transpiring and, you know, we're having events taking place in our lives, and maybe things aren't going the way that, you know, would be our preference, then maybe in this time and age, then we're reacting in a way which is stronger. You know, we're like, wait a minute, I want to be in charge here. This is another cultural problem that's taking place. So, and so what I mentioned until now is the idea of wellness. I mentioned the idea of opinions and the idea of being in charge. The fourth thing I want to say is that from an Islamic perspective, when we try to understand the idea of mental health and what are, you know, what can we, what is it that we can speak about? How can we, like, get something useful and understand it from an Islamic perspective? The typical materialistic perspective is very shallow. It doesn't look at the whole picture of things. Islam teaches us a worldview, and it teaches us ideology. It teaches us how to think about things and also what to do. So when you look at this world as being something which is just a random act, there's no sense or rhyme behind it. It just came to be. When you look at this world and there's, and you see it as being a bunch of different actors who are just doing different things, and there's no one who's coordinating everything and keeping everything together. When you look at this world and you don't consider that there is a hereafter behind this, that there's some other realms behind it, then it becomes very hard to feel happy when things don't go your way. But Islam teaches us a different perspective. Islam teaches us that there's much more than just, you know, material, you know, beings and human beings and, you know, different things that they get and acquire. There's a lot more to it. Islam teaches us tools to be able to positively affect our spirit and our psychological state. Tools like when it comes to both on the spiritual level and when it comes to on the physical level. So, for example, the tool of tawakkul, the idea of relying on Allah, right? The tool of sabr and being patient. And also actions as well too. For example, the idea of wudu being a source of happiness on a psychological and spiritual level. The idea of saying prayers on time being a source of happiness and satisfaction. The idea of reciting Quran being a way of dispelling grief from the soul. The idea of meeting believers being a way of removing grief from the soul. Right? These are very important discussions that need to be had when we're trying to analyze it from an Islamic perspective. So that's just an introduction. My point there was to show that there is something that Islam has to say, that as meaning as believers, it's very much important that we look at this, because it is something which is becoming a crisis.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matin شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I tell my friends that I think I am a better Christian now that I am a Muslim.
And everywhere my eyes fell, it was as if this Quran was directly talking to
me. Now you're becoming a Muslim. Yes. How did this affect your mom?
In my city, there is only one mosque, it's Shia.
And those who were guided to the right path in moments of realization.
بالحب نجمع شملنا وشتاتنا كلمة التفرق سادة الأنام الله أكبر الله أكبر الله الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Salam alaikum. Hello and welcome to our program, Moments of Realization. It's a program where we get to meet and have a chat with those who have taken a different path in their lives, usually a path less traveled by. I am your host, Rashida Hanif, and our guest today is Mr. Suleiman Ishaq from the country of Nigeria. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Welcome to our program again.
Thank you.
Last time you were here, you shared your journey through Islam with us, how you decided to become a Shia. Now, can you tell us, now that you are here in Iran and you've had some exposure to Shiism, how can your country, or Sunnis in particular, benefit or learn from Shias?
There's a lot of things that Sunnis will learn from the Shia school of thought.
Okay.
Just one example, we are talking about Quran.
Okay.
In Nigeria, you see the kid and even the scholar. Some, I will not say all. You can see how they even go direct to the Quran without no ablution.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was here in Iran, I was surprised that because I come to a short-term program.
Yes.
You can see even the Quran will be very, very, they take care of the Quran very well.
Mm-hmm.
One, and they will not take the Quran, they will not touch it, except they perform ablution.
Okay.
And second thing, I don't even know that until when I come here, I learned that whenever they touch Quran, they will kiss it first.
Mm-hmm.
Eh?
A beautiful thing.
A beautiful thing. That is very, very fantastic. You see, so even from here, you can see that if really we can, the Sunnis will take this and introduce it, and the children bring them up with this, I think they will so much respect Quran. Because I will not forget in my place, many times, you can see sometimes you go, if you go to Quran schools, you see Quran, some Some are even in half distance. Some are even cut. They cut some away. Mm-hmm. So you can even see even where they even keep the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Really.